It's December the 10th, 2014. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. This morning, the United States Department of Agriculture updated its world agricultural supply and demand estimates. It now says the ending stocks number for corn at the end of this year, that would be the fall of 2015 for the marketing year, will drop from 2.008 billion last month to 1.998 billion this month as a projection, although USDA has not changed the average farm price or the cash price of corn. It ranges from $3.20 to $3.80, still with a midpoint at $3.50. The midpoint for soybeans remained the same as well, at $9 to $11 on the range and $10 on the midpoint, with an ending stocks there that dropped 40 million bushels from 450 million to 410 million bushels. U.S. wheat supplies, on the other hand, jumped just a bit from 644 million on the projection for the ending stocks to 654 million. However, demand is driving the price a bit higher. The change is now from 565 to 615 last month on a cash price nationwide to $5.80 to $6.20, with an average midpoint at $6 even for the wheat. And finally, on the world front, a couple of notes of importance for corn, up 1% from last month to this month in total supply, although Argentina's projection has dropped 4.3%. You can find all the details of this morning's USDA World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate figures on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. Now let's see what the marketplace did with these numbers and talk about that just a bit with Jackie Vake. She's at Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. Jackie, thank you so much for taking the time with us at 11 o'clock, of course. As we just talked about, USDA released the World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates. There were some changes, and corn managed to drop below kind of a level that most people think about as something important, $2 billion as a carryout. Now, just below that, barely below that, but it is below that. What difference does it make?
What difference does it make? I think it doesn't make much of a difference until we get to the January report from that standpoint, because everyone certainly asks questions about the size of the crop and whether we're going to see production actually drop on corn. And if it does drop on corn, and 6 out of the last 7 years we've actually seen the USDA increase demand on the January report from the December report, if that would be the case, well, you know, then that could be a real shocker to the marketplace. But I think a lot is built in already, Todd, including the idea that we're going to have less corn acres. You know, that's certainly been a big talk, and that's in the market. In fact, the reaction today, as far as I'm concerned, is a big statement as to what the market's all about. You know, we had a less than expected bean carry out. We had a less than expected corn carry out, and yet we ended the day negative. Why? It's because they already had it built in ahead of time, and we were within the ranges. So I think the more important things that might have come out of the report is that they dropped China corn imports from 2.5 to 2 million metric tons, didn't do anything on beans. They increased the size of the China corn crop. It became apparent that Argentina is going to be able to meet any demand that Brazil has for wheat. And I think on the bean side of things, what was interesting was the fact that USDA had left it at 94 million for Brazil, even though CONAB came out today and said 95.8 million, which was a shock as far as I was concerned. They were down to 90.5 last month. So I guess it's a big statement as to how fast decent weather can turn a crop around. And when I did talk with Dr. Cordonier, he was telling me that there are going to be beans in Paraná that are going to be coming off in December already, before the first of the year. So we had kind of discounted the idea that that could happen. I think that the bigger things are, this was a five-minute report, you know, and now we're on to looking at what January may bring us and what the end of the year type of trade might actually be with all the repositioning that goes on.
One other item that was in the executive summary from USDA was on corn. You mentioned Argentina already, but they made some notes about Argentina the size of its crop projection dropped, what, 4.1 or 4.7%? I don't recall which one of the two at this point, but it dropped from last month to this month. And they took some time to outline what was important, they thought, to that particular marketplace. They kind of think that there's not a lot of incentive, I suppose, for Argentine farmers to plant corn.
Well, not really. The only plus they have, of course, is that they've got good moisture. You know, that's one thing. But when you take a good, close look at Argentina, you're at 40% inflation. You know, credit is a tough situation. And, you know, this bank threat that came out day before yesterday, them saying they're not going to give them credit unless they actually make sales on beans. I thought it was a positive. I noticed the export tax dropped from 35 to 20%. So, you know, the government is trying to get them to move things. Their input costs are high. Another thing that's really switched down there is pasture land now is a lot more profitable, you know, being able to put cattle out onto pasture. So these are the lowest corn prices we've seen since 2009 in Argentina. And, you know, there's lots of corn in the world. Even if China needs corn, U.S. has a big crop to be able to compete against Argentina. So I don't think that there's much incentive there at all for them to plant corn. But then again, we have to always remember that there are different reasons for rotating crops and doing those kinds of things too. So the pundits can never outguess what the, you know, what the farmer may or may not have to do for the health of his land.
What do you think about the outside markets at this point? And when I think about the outside markets, I'm thinking of maybe exports from other countries, and of course you'll have to come around to crude oil at some point.
Yeah, crude is certainly in the backs of everybody's mind. Exports from other countries, well, we've certainly seen Russian exports are up 32% over a year ago. We know that Ukrainian exports are up, and we're just seeing a lot of competition coming in against us but not being reflected in our market at this point in time. And so I think that's going to be the key. And I'm going to roll back to Brazilian, the Brazilian bean crop going up as big as it did. That would be 11% more than the record crop that they had last year, which is really quite amazing. 9.7 million metric tons more. So if that would come to fruition, that'll make her tough. But crude oil, man, what an interesting situation we have going on there. January actually hit 70 or 60 plus today. So that was very close to the 200-month moving average. That's the lowest we've seen crude oil since July of 2009. It's dropped $40 since that point in time. And so this is certainly putting some pressure on the frackers. And I went out to the American rail system and looked at the weekly numbers, and we are seeing that there's definitely less oil moving than, let's say, was moving 3 to 4 weeks ago, and there's definitely a little more grain moving. So, you know, that's a positive. OPEC came out today with their projections for 2015, and that's what started to sink the market. But what really sunk the market was the EIA surprised us with a big increase in the supplies of oil here in the U.S. So, you know, I think that the overriding issue is, you know, the world has a larger supply because of production that's going on here, and the world, you know, the weak world demand. We just have slow economic growth over in Europe and even in China, where we had been growing very rapidly before. So you could see the Dow Jones didn't like it very much. It's down, what, 225 right now?
Right.
As soon as that report came out, it definitely had a negative impact there, too.
On the flip side of that marketplace, it appears that ethanol production has remained strong, this despite the lower cost of the price of crude oil as compared to the price of corn.
It has. I mean, I think it's interesting, but we have to keep in mind when you look at the ratio. You know, I always look at RBOB to ethanol. 1.03 is where we are right now. If you roll back just a few months, we were at 1.49. That's a reflection of profitability, and so we know that profit margins are getting squeezed. We haven't gotten to the point yet where we actually see the gasoline price dropping, you know, lower than where the ethanol ratio should be. And then, so I would expect we'll probably still do that, but each week we better keep a mighty close eye on it.
Okay, let's wrap it all up and go back to the top for just a bit. And top of mind, of course, would be prices, what farmers can and should do. What are you talking to them about most often these days?
Well, you know, probably a rerun of everything I've been talking about for a long time, but, you know, knowing what your bottom line is, knowing, you know, trying to really figure out. So guys are having a tough time. You know, at this point in time, beans still pencil better than corn just because of lower input costs and lower trucking costs and other things. And yet we've moved closer together than what we had been when we first started talking about a lot more bean acres. So if you're gonna shift over to beans, I think, and we're still above $10, you need to at least have a put in place to protect yourself from the downside in case we do end up with more. On the corn side of things, you know, if a sale at 420 or 425 is the worst sale you make for the year, that's a pretty darn good situation. So I just think there are too many questions out there, and you've got to be prepared for whatever the market's going to do. So for right now, downside is the greatest risk, and then be prepared to re-own if that's the case. I mean, I think you can make an argument for both sides of the marketplace. It's going to be probably a rough and tumble ride as we get here into the end of the year and then before the January USDA report, Todd.
Downside is the bigger risk, yet basis remains strong, doesn't it?
It does. And, you know, when you look at that basis situation, that's definitely, as far as I'm concerned, been supporting corn price as well as bean price. You know, normally we don't see the CFTC showed last week that the positions at the commercial level, actually, they got rid of a bunch of short contracts. Well, that would say to me that we probably have guys, because basis is better than normal, that are locking HTAs in, and then they become a cash contract, so they buy back the futures they sold to protect themselves from having paid the farmer too much when he locked in the HTA. And so that's something that we seldom, if ever, see. You know, we normally don't have a basis that's really good at this time of year. So I would expect that, and I would advise guys to make sure they stay on top of it. If they start to see basis widening for not any great good reason, then you know that they've got their needs covered, and that they're feeling more comfortable about where they are, and they're starting to actually look at the size of the crop that we've got.
I suppose that just about covers it all for the day. Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
That, of course, is Jackie Vake. Yeah. She's with Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County and joins us on this Wednesday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report. You can hear her again, if you'd like, on our website. The address there is willag.org. That's willag.org. If you're looking for all the numbers from USDA's report this morning, you can find it on that website. My Twitter feed is posted there. I'm at Commodity Week. David is at David A. Dickey, if you want to follow us on Twitter directly, but you can take a quick look at what was posted earlier this morning on my feed at Commodity Week. It's willag.org, and those USDA numbers are always there over in the USDA reports section. Just hit the link over on the right-hand side of the page. That's where, at willag.org.